Buenos días. The scripture today is from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. Por eso, como dice el Espíritu Santo, si ustedes oyen su voz, no endurezcan el corazón como sucedió en la rebelión en aquel día de prueba en el desierto. Allí sus antepasados me tentaron y me pusieron a prueba, a pesar de haber visto mis obras 40 años. Por eso me enojé con aquella generación y dije, siempre se descarría su corazón y no han reconocido mis caminos. Así que en mi enojo hice este juramento, jamás entrarán en mi reposo. Cuídense, hermanos, de que ninguno de ustedes tenga un corazón pecaminoso e incrédulo que los haga apartarse del Dios vivo. Más bien, mientras dure ese hoy, anímense unos a otros cada día, para que ninguno de ustedes se endurezca por el engaño del pecado. Hemos llegado a tener parte con Cristo, con tal que retengamos firme hasta el fin la confianza que tuvimos al principio. Como se acaba de decir, si ustedes oyen su voz, no endurezcan el corazón como sucedió en la rebelión. Ahora bien, ¿quiénes fueron los que oyeron y se rebelaron? ¿No fueron acaso todos los que salieron de Egipto guiados por Moisés? ¿Y con quiénes se enojó Dios durante 40 años? ¿No fue acaso con los que pecaron, los cuales cayeron muertos en el desierto? ¿Y a quiénes juró Dios que jamás entrarían en su reposo, sino a los que desobedecieron? Como podemos ver, no pudieron entrar por causa de su incredulidad. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hello, everyone. What a wonderful pleasure and delight it is to finally be with you all. My heart is so full. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your holy word. It is so good. And we pray that today your word will speak to us the words that we need to hear. Will you speak words of life to us as we just open ourselves up to you? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A preacher named Charles Spurgeon shared a story. A minister heard about a poor woman and wanted to help her because he knew that she was very poor. So he took money in his hand and went to her home. And when he knocked at the door, no one answered. So he concluded that she wasn't home and left. A little after he left, he met her at the church and told her that he remembered her need. So he said, "I called out to you at your house and knocked several times and thought that you were not at home because no one answered." And she said, "At what hour did you come by?" Then he said, "It was about noon." She then said, "Oh dear, I heard you and I'm so sorry that I didn't answer. I thought it was the man coming to collect rent." Charles Spurgeon shared this story in the 1800s, and it seems that the issues we have today are no different from back then. Have you ever felt that your relationship with God is like that? Have you ever assumed that God's knock on the door was to take something from you rather than bring a gift to your life? I often felt like the poor woman. I thought God had come to take and collect from me. And this is because when I was younger, I was taught in the church, that I needed to do and give and produce all these things for God's approval. I thought that I needed to be good, that I could never mess up, and I needed to always try my best, and that still was never good enough. I needed to be perfect for God's approval. Does that resonate with you? I need to be perfect. Because that kind of mindset and way of living, it actually consumed me. I felt the focus, attention, and arrows were all on me and my performance. So I became anxious and worried. It was draining. I felt that my relationship with God was like a toxic roller coaster because it was all about what I can offer God. I was busy listening to what other people were telling me what God wanted from me. But what I came to understand through Scripture is that our relationship begins with God initiating first. God reaches out to us first. God loves us first. 1 John 4:19 writes, "We love because God first loved us." And I felt that this is what I was missing in my relationship with God. I wasn't responding to God reaching out to me first, but rather it felt like I was initiating a relationship with God. It felt like God was responding to me rather than me responding to God. Therefore, I was navigating the relationship, and that was difficult. Perhaps you can identify with my story, and the Bible speaks to that as well. Today's passage, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 19, is about how the Israelites did not believe in God's ability and love for them. So this led them into the dead end of the wilderness, and that place is where we feel confused and lost. We reach these dead ends when we don't trust in God's care and love for us. Now, when my oldest daughter was in kindergarten, we drove her to school every morning. And one particular morning, there was a lot of traffic. It was a lot more than usual, so we decided to take the back roads. And as we started to take the different roads, I happened to look at my daughter in the back seat, and she was frantically looking out every single window. She looked worried and really concerned. So I asked her if she was okay, and she said, we're not going the right way. This is not the right way. So I said to her, well, sweetie, there's a lot of cars this morning, so we're going to take a different way so that we can get you to school on time. Don't worry. She started to shake her head, and she was like, nope, no, this is not the way. She looked concerned the entire time. And no matter how much I tried to reassure her that it was going to be okay, she didn't seem to understand. I mean, it was to the point where she was stretching out her seatbelt to be able to see more clearly where we were headed. And as soon as we turned onto the street in front of her school, she exclaimed, "Oh, you were right. We made it." We all began laughing. And it was then that she started to calm down and be at peace. When things don't turn out the way we expect, we experience worry and anxiety, which leads us to attempt to take control rather than trust. And that often has very bad outcomes. Now, can you imagine if my daughter was convinced that we were wrong and taking her in the wrong direction, and she decided that she was right? And then she takes over the driver's seat and begins driving. It would be disastrous. The Israelites did not trust in God's word and God's ability. They saw with their eyes their situation and the circumstance and trusted in what they saw. They saw their limitations and all of the impossibilities. However, God's plan and God's word and God's abilities are so much greater than our thoughts and our way. This leads me to think about faith. Now, faith is a core strength that we need to develop in order to live well. The New Testament was written in ancient Greek, and so when we take a look at the original language, it can help us better understand what the Bible is communicating. In ancient Greek, the word faith, means divine persuasion. Divine persuasion. This means that God is the one who is doing the work of persuading us. For us to have faith, it means that we have been persuaded by God. So the question is, how are we positioning ourselves to be persuaded? Having an open heart and open mind and open ears to help us to hear what God is saying. Now, what does God need to persuade us about? For me, I position myself in Scripture. And what I found in Scripture was God's complete faithfulness to God's Son. God was faithful to Jesus Christ every step of the way, starting with sending him into this world, his conception, his birth, his childhood, and his entire ministry, even in persecution, even in his death, and of course, in his resurrection. God was faithful to Jesus Christ. And to me, when I saw God's faithfulness, goodness, and power and love for Jesus Christ, I knew that that same faithfulness was for me and also for anyone who wants to be persuaded. I was thoroughly persuaded of this. I was inside and out completely persuaded. Because I saw God's faithfulness in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. When I look at God's faithfulness to Jesus Christ, it gives me the greatest hope and the clearest picture of how faithful God can be in my life. So since then, and until now, and even now, I'm able to see God's goodness and faithfulness in my life. I am persuaded. How then do we position ourselves to be persuaded by God? How can we continue to be persuaded by God? One way is to look at Scripture. Scripture reveals to us that God is with us, God is for us, and God is faithful to God's promises. Last week, we learned about being rooted in Scripture. Scripture gives us revelation about Jesus Christ in whom we can know God's goodness and faithfulness. Another way that we can position ourselves to be persuaded is to pray. I want to invite you to pray and ask God to persuade you of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And lastly, we can also share with other people our stories of how we have been persuaded by God. How have you been persuaded? When we continually share our stories and hear how other people have been persuaded by God, it continues to strengthen us in God's persuasion that God is good and faithful. So let us daily, be positioned to be persuaded by God. Let's spend time with the Lord. We can even say something as simple as, God, persuade me today. Persuade me to hear from you. Persuade me of your goodness and faithfulness. Persuade me on how to live my life, how to be a blessing, and how to see my circumstances differently. Persuade me. This is what it means to have faith, and this will lead us to open roads. In closing, if you have been blessed by this message, I want to invite you to think about someone that can really benefit from hearing these kinds of messages of God's goodness. Then share the worship service link with someone. Invite folks to be part of your walk and journey with Christ. Amen.